The Hidden History of Verse 40, Number 30. Ezekiel Number 11.
In the book of Ezekiel, the siege of Jerusalem is the sign that is the test by which our eternal destiny will be decided, for it marks the formation of the image of the beast.
The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test for the people of God, by which their eternal destiny will be decided. This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. All who proved their loyalty to God by observing His law, and refusing to accept a spurious Sabbath, will rank under the banner of the Lord God Jehovah, and will receive the seal of the living God. Those who yield the truth of heavenly origin and accept the Sunday Sabbath, will receive the mark of the beast. Manuscript Releases, Volume 15, 15.
The Christians that fled Jerusalem at the sign of Cestius did so because they had been forewarned and recognized the sign when it arrived. Recognizing the formation of the image of the beast is to recognize the events, preparations, and movements that lead to the Sunday law. The prophetic elements that make up the sign must be understood in advance of the sign. When Cestius began the siege, it was too late to learn what the sign was.
Already preparations are advancing, and movements are in progress, which will result in making an image to the beast. Events will be brought about in the earth's history that will fulfill the predictions of prophecy for these last days. Review and Herald, April 23, 1889.
Preparations, movements, and events.
The preparations, movements, and events must be recognized in advance of the test.
All that God has in prophetic history specified to be fulfilled in the past has been, and all that is yet to come in its order will be. Daniel, God's prophet, stands in his place. John stands in his place. In the Revelation, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has opened to the students of prophecy the book of Daniel, and thus is Daniel standing in his place. He bears his testimony, that which the Lord revealed to him in vision of the great and solemn events which we must know as we stand on the very threshold of their fulfillment. In history and prophecy, the Word of God portrays the long-continued conflict between truth and error. That conflict is yet in progress. Those things which have been will be repeated. Selected Messages, Book 2, 109.
We must know the great and solemn events as we stand on the very threshold of their fulfillment. The threshold identifies our need to understand the events in advance of their fulfillment.
But the stern tracings of the prophetic pencil reveal a change in this peaceful scene. The beast with lamb-like horns speaks with the voice of a dragon, and exorciseth all the power of the first beast before him. The spirit of persecution manifested by paganism and the papacy is again to be revealed. Prophecy declares that this power will say to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast. Revelation 13 verse 14. The image is made to the first or leopard-like beast, which is the one brought to view in the third angel's message. By this first beast is represented the Roman Church, an ecclesiastical body clothed with civil power, having authority to punish all dissenters. The image to the beast represents another religious body clothed with similar power. The formation of this image is the work of that beast whose peaceful rise and mild professions render it so striking a symbol of the United States. Here is to be found an image of the papacy. When the churches of our land, uniting upon such points of faith as are held by them in common, shall influence the state to enforce their decrees and sustain their institutions, then will Protestant America have formed an image of the Roman hierarchy. Then the true church will be assailed by persecution, as were God's ancient people. Almost every century furnishes examples of what bigotry and malice can do under a plea of serving God by protecting the rights of church and state. Protestant churches that have followed in the steps of Rome by forming alliance with worldly powers have manifested a similar desire to restrict liberty of conscience. In the 17th century, thousands of nonconformist ministers suffered under the rule of the Church of England. Persecution always follows religious favoritism on the part of secular governments. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 277.
The formation of the image of the beast is accomplished first in the United States, and thereafter in the world.
Foreign nations will follow the example of the United States. Though she leads out, yet the same crisis will come upon our people in all parts of the world. Testimonies, Volume 6, 395.
The Edict of Milan in 313 represents the starting of the formation and also identifies the closed door for Seventh-day Adventists. Constantine of the West and Licinius of the East attached a treaty marriage to the edict. When Constantine gave his half-sister Constantia to Licinius in the fourth treaty marriage represented in a prophetic line of the six treaty marriages within the prophetic history of Daniel 11. The first two were associated with wars between the North and South. The next two were civil wars between East and West, and the last two are symbolic marriages of the papal church power and state power. Antiochus II Theos set aside his wife Lysi to marry the Ptolemaic princess Berenice, daughter of Ptolemy II, around 252 BC. The treaty marriages of the Seleucid Empire were accomplished between the king of the north and the king of the south, whereas the treaty marriage of 313 was between the emperor of the east and the emperor of the west. The treaty marriage of Antiochus II Theos in 252 BC represented the beginning of the Seleucid Empire that reached its conclusion as an empire in the history represented in verses 10 through 16 of Daniel 11. In the final history of the Seleucid Empire, another treaty marriage was accomplished by Antiochus III the Great when he gave his daughter Cleopatra Isaira, the very first Cleopatra of prophetic history, to Ptolemy V in 193 BC. At the time, Ptolemy V was about 16 and Cleopatra Isaira about 10 years old. Their marriage was a diplomatic settlement after the Fifth Syrian War. The Alpha Treaty marriage between the King of the North and South in Daniel 11 had marked the end of the Second Syrian War. The last Cleopatra of prophetic history interacted with both Julius Caesar and thereafter with Mark Antony. After the assassination of Julius Caesar in 44 BC, the Second Triumvirate was formed in 43 BC. Three men made up the Triumvirate, and after one of those three, Marcus Lepidus was forced out of the threefold union by Octavian. A power struggle between Mark Antony of the East and Octavian of the West ensued. At Brundisium, in 40 BC, a treaty between the two Eastern and Western rivals was made. The treaty included the marriage between Octavian's sister Octavia and Mark Antony. The treaty and accompanying marriage did not hold, and after Mark Antony became involved with Cleopatra, he divorced Octavia in 32 BC. At the Battle of Actium in 31 BC, the empires of East and West were consolidated into one power, and Octavian thereafter became Augustus Caesar, the symbol of the height of Roman glory and power. Prophetically, the first treaty marriage of Daniel 11 was between the kings of the north and south in an attempt to end hostilities between the two combatants who were struggling to re-establish the empire of Alexander the Great. That first treaty marriage between the Seleucids and the Ptolemies of Egypt was the Alpha Treaty marriage of the Seleucid and Ptolemaic kingdoms, which typified the Omega Treaty marriage between the same two powers. In the last, or Omega Treaty marriage, the very first or Alpha Cleopatra of Egyptian history became the prophetic link to the last or Omega Cleopatra, whose relationship with Mark Antony became the point of reference for the divorce of Octavia and Mark Antony. The divorce marked the renewed hostilities between Mark Antony of the East and Octavian of the West, which ended at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. The treaty marriage of Brundisium in 40 BC was the Alpha Treaty marriage of the struggle between East and West, just as the treaty marriage of Laodicea and Antiochus II Theo was the alpha of the struggle between North and South. The treaty marriage of 313 was the omega to the alpha treaty marriage of Mark Antony and Octavia, just as the treaty marriage between Ptolemy V and Cleopatra Isaira was the omega treaty marriage of the Northern and Southern kingdoms. The three treaty marriages that led to the omega treaty marriage of 313 all align and provide three witnesses to the prophetic characteristics associated with the Edict of Milan. Together, the four literal treaty marriages of East, West, North, and South align with the two symbolic treaty marriages of the papacy. In 496, Clovis the King of the Franks was married to Clotilda. Clotilda was a Burgundian princess, the daughter of King Chilperic II of Burgundy. After her father and mother were murdered in a family power struggle, she lived under the protection of her uncle before being given in marriage to Clovis I, King of the Franks, in 493. She was a Catholic, that is, she held the Nicene/Orthodox faith of the Roman Church. This set her apart from many other Germanic royal families of the time, who were Arian Christians. Her mother Caratina had been Catholic, and Clotilda was raised in that faith. She is remembered for persistently urging Clovis to abandon paganism and accept Catholic baptism, and thereafter his conversion in 496 is one of the most important events in the early history of France and of Western so-called Christianity. Clovis vowed that if he won the Battle of Tolbiac, he would convert to Clotilda's Catholic faith and be baptized. The Alemanni king was killed, their army broke, and the Franks won. After the victory, Clotilda arranged for Bishop Remigius of Reims to instruct Clovis, and he was baptized, traditionally on Christmas Day 496, along with several thousand of his warriors. Clovis was the king of the Franks, which in modern terms is the king of France. He became the first of the kings of Europe who would ultimately surrender their pagan religion and turn to Catholicism. For this reason, Clovis is considered the eldest son of the Catholic Church, and France is called the eldest daughter of the Catholic Church. In 1980, when Pope John Paul II visited France, he asked, "France, eldest daughter of the Church, are you faithful to your baptism?" Clovis' conversion to Nicene Catholicism identifies the start of a symbolic marriage procession that would lead to the symbolic treaty marriage of 538. The symbolic treaty marriage between Clovis and the whore who commits fornication with the kings of the earth was typified by the four previous treaty marriages in Daniel 11. Clovis was the first European king to provide military and economic support for the Roman Church, and Clovis is therefore represented within the history in Daniel 11.
"An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." Daniel 11 verse 31.
Clovis in 496 marks the beginning of the European political structures to stand up to aid the papacy as it rose to power. It marks the beginning of a symbolic marriage procession. The arms of the verse would also pollute the sanctuary of strength, which for both pagan and papal Rome is the city of Rome.
Two sanctuaries.
There are two different Hebrew words in the book of Daniel that are translated as sanctuary. The Hebrew words mikdash and kodesh are both translated as sanctuary, but kodesh can only represent a holy entity, whereas mikdash can represent either a holy or unholy sanctuary, as determined by context. The sanctuary of strength in verse 31 is mikdash and represents the sanctuary of Rome's strength, which for both pagan and papal Rome was the city of Rome. From the Battle of Actium, when Octavian united the empire, pagan Rome was invincible for 360 years, a time, in fulfillment of verse 24 of Daniel 11.
"He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil, and riches. Yeah. And he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time." Daniel 11 verse 24.
When pagan Rome ruled from the city of Rome, it was invincible. But when Constantine moved the capital to Constantinople in 330, the time of verse 24 was fulfilled. When the last of the three horns, the Goths, of Daniel 7 were driven out of the city, papal Rome prophetically took the throne as the fifth kingdom of Bible prophecy. In 538, the Goths had besieged Rome, but ultimately retreated as Belisarius, general for Justinian, secured the city. The Roman Church then ruled supremely for 1260 years until Napoleon had the Pope removed and put in exile in 1798. Rome, the sanctuary of strength, was polluted. Polluted, meaning wounded or dissolved, through the arms from the ongoing warfare against the city, represented primarily by the first four trumpets of Revelation chapter 8. The history that ensued from 496 onward would see the city of Rome polluted as it changed from the power and glory of the Roman Empire unto the power and glory of the Roman Catholic Empire. Those arms would take away the religion of paganism, represented by the word daily in the passage, as they accepted the religion of Nicene Catholicism. At the Battle of Veil, Clovis defeated the Arian Visigoths under Alaric II and took Aquitaine. In the aftermath of the victory, in 508, the Eastern Emperor Anastasius I, in Constantinople, honored Clovis for his victory over the Visigoths. Gregory of Tours says that Anastasius sent Clovis official papers making him consul. At Tours, in St. Martin's Church, Clovis put on a purple tunic and cloak, set a diadem on his head, rode out, and scattered gold and silver to the crowd. Gregory says that from that day, he was hailed as consul and recognized by the Roman emperor that Clovis was a legitimate Christian king in the West. He was rewarded for breaking the Arian Visigoths, whom Constantinople also opposed. 508 is the year the emperor in the East publicly honored the Catholic Frankish king, church, victory, and Roman legitimacy in one scene. 508 is the year the Frankish Catholic kingdom stood as the dominant Catholic power in Gaul after breaking Arian Visigoth's rule. Clovis is the first major barbarian king to fight for Nicene Catholicism against Arian kingdoms, and thus the prototype of the French role as eldest daughter of the church. Clovis represents the period of 496 on a 508 and is the alpha symbol of the symbolic marriage treaty. The 30 years from 508 unto 538 are represented by Justinian, who is the omega symbol of the procession. In 538, the arms placed the papal power on the throne of the earth for 1,260 years. It was then that the symbolic treaty marriage was consummated at the conclusion of the marriage procession that had begun in 496. In 1798, the treaty marriage that had begun between the Pope of Rome and Clovis of France was disannulled when Napoleon of France divorced the papal power by having his general take the pope captive. The alpha symbolic papal treaty marriage, which had begun its marriage procession in 496, was consummated at the Sunday Law in 538, and it was thereafter disannulled in 1798, just as was every other treaty marriage of Daniel 11. Revelation adds to the papal marital relationship between the kings of Europe and popes of Catholicism. For the dragon of Revelation 12 is both Satan and pagan Rome's kings.
Thus, while the dragon, primarily, represents Satan, it is, in a secondary sense, a symbol of pagan Rome. The Great Controversy, 439.
In Revelation, John informs us of three things the kings, the dragon, gave to the sea beast of Catholicism.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority.
Revelation 13 verse 2. In 496, the kings of Europe began providing the papal beast their power as represented by their military might and economic support. They had moved the capital of their empire to Constantinople in 330, leaving the city of Rome as the seat of the papal authority. The arms thereafter identified the papal church as the head of all churches in 533 with the decree of Justinian. The decree included the use of their military might to persecute those who the papacy identified as heretics, thus placing their civil authority into the hands of the popes. The Alpha Treaty marriage between the papacy and the kings of Europe began with Clovis in 496. By 508, paganism, the legal religion of the realm, was set aside for the religion of Nicene Catholicism. In 533, Justinian identified the papacy as the head of all churches and surrendered the legal authority of their respective thrones unto the papal power.
The Alpha and Omega Seat.
In 330, the city of Rome was left in the hands of the Roman Church, where she would be seated until she is destroyed in the lake of fire at Christ's second coming. In 538, she was officially seated again upon the papal throne, thus identifying the history of 330 on a 538 as a prophetic period that begins with an alpha seat and ends with an omega seat. The period represents the ending of the fourth kingdom of Bible prophecy, Pergamos, as a progressive demise beginning in 330 and ending in 538 with the arrival of Thyatira. Both Western and Eastern Rome continued the slow dissolution beyond 538, but the period began with giving the seat, representing the city of Rome, to the papacy in 330, until the seat became not simply a throne over the city, but over the kingdom represented by the city in 538. 330 to 538 is a specific prophetic period that defines the eight waymarks of the papacy's empowerment. Those eight steps are repeated in the healing of the papacy's deadly wound at the soon-coming Sunday Law. The first of the eight steps was the giving of the city of Rome to the papal power, and the eighth step was the giving of the city as the throne of the fifth kingdom of Bible prophecy. This identifies 538 as the seat, and as the eighth step, that is of the previous seven steps. The first step was the giving of the seat, and the eighth step was the giving of the seat. Thus, the first step in 330 is the Alpha, and 538 is the Omega. Two seats, three horns removed, the daily taken away, Clovis conversion and Justinian's decree equal eight total steps that identify the marriage procession, and ultimately the marriage. In 1798, France, the power who had represented the 10 European kings, who placed the papacy on the throne in 538, removed the papacy from that very throne. The Alpha Treaty marriage represented in the history of 538 on 1798 typifies the Omega Treaty marriage of the papal power with the 10 kings of Revelation 17. The marriage procession from 496 on 538 typifies eight steps that align with the last eight presidents of the United States. Clovis and France are symbols of the 10 European kings. They represent the United States, who will become the premier king of Revelation 17's 10 kings at the soon-coming Sunday Law. The five previous treaty marriages of Daniel 11 align with the sixth and final treaty marriage of the latter days. The Alpha and Omega treaty marriages of North and South identify the bride from the South, as the Alpha and the Omega is a bride from the North. In the treaty marriages of pagan Rome, the Alpha bride from the East was given to the West, and the Omega of 313 was a bride from the West. Those four marriages are prophetically linked together by Cleopatra I and Cleopatra the Last. The symbolic treaty marriage of papal Rome represented the groom as the premier king of a prophetic confederacy of 10 kings joining with their bride, the Scarlet Woman of Rome. The divorce was carried out by the premier king of the 10 kings in 1798. The treaty marriage of 313 represents the final treaty marriage of the papal power with the United States, the premier king of Revelation 17's 10 kings, a two-horned power that is typified by the two-horned power of France. The history that began with Clovis in 496 and ultimately led to the decree of Justinian in 533 and the enthronement of the papacy in 538 represents the history of 1989 unto the Sunday Law. We will continue these things in the next article.